Okay, so today we're going to unpack some research on, those gorgeous orange butterflies we see like all the time fluttering around. It's the dark green fritillary and the high brown fritillary. Turns out their lives are actually way more complex than they might seem.
There's this fascinating study. It was published in 2021,
Oh, wow.
and it really dives into their movements and populations. It's almost like a data-driven nature documentary, you
Yeah,
know?
like that, yeah. So, where does this butterfly tale take place?
Well, the study focuses on the island of Öland in Sweden,
Okay.
which is a place with a real mix of habitats. You got forests, meadows, pastures, you know.
Nice, yeah. So, like a good variety.
It's the perfect setting to really study these two fritillary species.
Okay, so they're both fritillaries.
And they're actually closely related, but they're ecologically distinct, which is what makes this so interesting.
I see, okay. And how did the researchers actually track these butterflies? I'm imagining like tiny little GPS trackers glued to their wings or something.
Not quite, no. They use a technique called mark release recapture.
Right.
So basically, they capture the butterflies, mark them harmlessly, and then release them back out into the wild. And then they see who they recapture and where.
Okay.
And this data lets them estimate things like population size, their survival rates,
Oh, cool.
and it also gives them a glimpse into the butterflies' movement patterns.
Very clever. I like that. So tell me a little more about what makes the dark green and the high brown fritillaries so interesting to compare. Like on the surface, they both look like pretty orange, fluttery butterflies, right?
On the surface, they are both orange and fluttery, but they have very different approaches to survival, believe it or not.
I'm listening.
So the dark green fritillary, it's a generalist,
Good.
meaning it can live in a variety of habitats. It's not super picky about its food.
Okay, adapt.
The high brown fritillary, on the other hand, is what we call a specialist.
Okay, so it's a little more discerning.
Picky. It needs very specific habitats and food sources to do well, to thrive.
So one's adaptable, one's a little more picky. I'm guessing that plays a role in how many of each butterfly the researchers actually found out there in the wild.
The study found a huge difference in population density between the two species.
Okay.
The dark green fritillary, they had a density of about 5,066 individuals per square kilometer.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is quite a lot. While the high brown fritillary only had 814 per square kilometer.
Oh, wow, that's a big difference.
It is a big difference.
I'm curious why the high brown might have such a lower population density.
Well, being a specialist, like we talked about, it makes survival tougher. Suitable habitats for the high brown just aren't as common.
Makes sense.
So their populations are more spread out. They're limited by those very specific resources that they need.
Yeah, like trying to find a very specific vintage record in a sea of, digital music.
That's a great way to put it. Their chances are just much lower.
It highlights the challenges that specialists face, I guess.
Compared to their more adaptable generalist counterparts.
Now, I'm curious, did the researchers find any like physical differences between these butterflies? I would almost imagine, I don't know, that maybe the generalists would be a little smaller, maybe more agile. I don't know. What did they find?
Interestingly, they found the opposite.
Really?
The high brown fritillaries were actually larger on average than the dark green fritillaries.
That's interesting. I would have thought the bigger wings would mean they could fly farther. So did the researchers find any correlation between their size and the flight distance?
Not within each species. So while it is true that bigger butterflies, they generally need more food to sustain themselves.
Right.
This study didn't find a direct link between their body size and how far they could fly.
I see. So size isn't everything in the butterfly world?
It seems not, no.
So what about overall flight distance then? Did the study uncover anything interesting about how far these butterflies travel?
They did, yeah. So while both species mostly stayed within 200 meters of where they were marked, the researchers recorded some record-breaking flights.
Oh, wow.
One dark green fritillary flew an incredible 11.9 kilometers.
Wow, for a butterfly, that's pretty far.
It is. That was the longest distance ever recorded for that species in a mark release recapture study.
Wow.
And a high brown fritillary, it flew 3.7 kilometers, which was also a record for that species.
That's incredible. I never would have guessed that a butterfly could travel that far.
It's pretty impressive.
So, what's the significance of these long-distance flights? Why venture out so far from home?
Well, it seems that these long-distance flights, while they are rare, they might actually be a really crucial strategy for finding mates in new habitats.
Okay, makes sense.
Especially for the high brown fritillary, cause. Remember, their survival depends on finding those scattered pockets of their ideal habitat.
Right, yeah, they're a lot pickier.
Right.
So it's like a high-stakes treasure hunt. They gotta cover more ground to find what they need.
Exactly.
Did the researchers observe anything else about how these butterflies behave in the wild?
They did. They also, they looked at what the butterflies were doing when they were captured, you know, just a snapshot.
Oh, okay.
So they noted that the dark green fritillaries, they were more often seen just flying around.
Okay.
While the high brown fritillaries were more often found nectaring, you know, feeding on flowers.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if those behaviors offer any clues about their overall activity patterns and maybe their energy needs.
It's certainly a question that warrants further investigation. Yeah. These are just like little snapshots, you know, quick observations.
Right, right.
So they might not represent the full range of the butterfly's behavior over time, but they definitely offer some intriguing hints.
For sure. So we've got these two butterflies. One's a generalist, one's a specialist, each with like a different population density and a different strategy for getting around. I'm sensing a theme here. How do these differences in lifestyle play out when it actually comes to survival?
That is a great question, and it's something we'll definitely delve deeper into in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay, cool.
We're going to explore how these seemingly small differences can have big implications for the butterfly's ability to adapt and thrive in a changing world.
Sounds good. I can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Welcome back. I'm ready to dive deeper into these differences we've been talking about between the dark green and high brown fritillaries.
Absolutely.
Especially how their contrasting lifestyles actually impact their survival.
Right.
Like you alluded to at the end of the last part.
Yeah, for sure. So let's take a closer look at how those record-breaking flights we were talking about actually relate to their survival strategies.
Okay, I'm all ears. Those long-distance flights really caught my attention.
Well, you know, for the high brown fritillary, they're specialists, right?
Mm.
So they rely on those very specific and often pretty scarce resources.
Right.
So they're longer flights. They're risky.
Yeah.
But they could be the key to actually finding new habitats, you know, and finding new mates.
So it's like a high stakes treasure hunt.
Exactly. They have to kind of cover more ground to find what they need to survive.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the study, you know, it actually suggests that the high brown's dispersal, it's negatively impacted by its lower population density.
Oh, hold on. Explain that a little more.
Yeah.
Why would fewer butterflies make those, you know, those crucial flights harder?
Well, think about it this way. If there are fewer individuals, right, and they're all spread out over a larger area,
right,
the odds of them finding a mate or a new suitable habitat patch, you know, it decreases.
Yeah.
It's like trying to find a needle in a haystack, but the haystack keeps getting bigger and there are fewer needles.
Wow. Yeah, that really kind of drives home the challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That these specialist butterflies face.
For sure.
It's like their pickiness just comes with this, like, inherent disadvantage, you know,
yeah,
when it comes to actually keeping their populations healthy.
It does.
So what about the dark green fritillary then? They seem to be doing all right with their, you know, more generalist go with the flow approach.
It's true. Yeah. Their adaptability, it allows them to really thrive in a wider range of habitats.
Mm.
They don't need to take those big risks as often.
Yeah.
But even for the dark green fritillary, habitat matters.
Right.
This study highlights that even seemingly common species, they rely on those specific resources to survive.
So it's a reminder that we can't take any species for granted.
Right.
No matter how abundant they seem.
Exactly.
Did the researchers uncover anything else about those long flights?
Mm-hmm.
Or the butterfly's behavior in general?
They did, yeah. Remember those kind of snapshot observations we were talking about?
Yeah.
Where the researchers were noting what the butterflies were actually doing when they were captured?
Yes.
You know, the dark green fritillaries were more often seen just flying around.
Yeah.
While the high brown were more often found like nectaring, you know, just feeding on flowers.
Right, right. I'm still curious about what those, what those differences tell us.
Yeah, well, those observations, they could hint at differences in their overall activity patterns, you know.
Okay.
Maybe their energy budgets.
Makes sense.
So the high brown, you know, they have those more limited habitat options.
Right.
They might need to spend more time nectaring just to fuel those longer flights.
So it's like, I don't know, comparing a marathon runner to a sprinter.
Yeah, yeah.
The marathon runner has to conserve energy, refuel more frequently.
Mm.
The sprinter can just go all out in these like short bursts.
That's a good analogy.
I like that.
It really, it underscores the need for more research, right?
For sure.
To fully understand how these behaviors relate to their movement patterns and ultimately their survival.
I agree. It feels like we've only just scratched the surface of what these butterflies can teach us about, you know, ecology and evolution.
Exactly. You know, and this study really reminds us that even these seemingly, you know, simple creatures like butterflies, they have complex lives and strategies for navigating the world. Yeah. And by understanding those strategies, you know, we can better appreciate the interconnectedness of all living things.
Right. And I'm ready to kind of explore those connections further.
Okay.
What are the, you know, the broader implications of this research?
Yeah.
Especially for conservation efforts.
That's a perfect segue into the final part of our deep dive.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. We'll delve into the conservation implications of this research and discuss what steps we can actually take to help ensure that these fascinating creatures continue to thrive.
Sounds good. Can't wait. Okay. So let's wrap up our deep dive into the world of the dark green and the high brown fritillary.
Sounds good.
I'm especially interested in, you know, what this research tells us about protecting these butterflies.
Okay.
Especially the specialists, like the high brown.
Right. Well, this study really highlights the importance of habitat connectivity.
Okay.
You know, especially for those specialist species.
Yeah.
Like, remember how we were talking about how their dispersal is negatively impacted by their lower population densities?
Yeah, it's like they're playing this high-stakes game of hopscotch.
Right.
Trying to find those, you know, scattered safe havens.
Exactly. So protecting those existing habitat patches, it's not enough, you know.
Oh, right.
We also need to think about creating corridors between them.
Oh, okay.
Essentially building those, you know, those butterfly highways you were talking about.
I like that.
Yeah.
Creating a network so they can safely move between those fragmented habitats.
Exactly.
So does that mean, you know, we need to plant specific types of plants to actually create these corridors?
That's a great point. Yeah. Understanding the specific habitat requirements of each species is really key.
Okay.
For the high brown fritillary, that might mean planting more of their preferred host plants.
Mm. And those nectar sources along those corridors.
Okay. So it sounds like there's a real opportunity here for, you know, gardeners, landowners, people like that.
Right.
To play a role in, you know, in helping these butterflies.
Yeah. So
what can, you know, just everyday people do to help create these butterfly havens?
Well, there are so many ways to get involved.
Yeah.
You know, even planting native wildflowers in your own garden, that's a fantastic start.
Right.
You know, supporting local conservation organizations that are working to protect and restore those habitats, that's another great option.
Awesome. So even small actions can add up to make a big difference.
Yeah, for sure.
I find that really empowering.
It is. And don't underestimate the power of advocacy, you know, raising awareness about the importance of habitat conservation,
right?
Supporting policies that actually protect biodiversity. You know, those are crucial for the long term success of these butterflies.
It's a reminder that we're all part of this interconnected web of life.
Yeah.
And, you know, our actions have a ripple effect.
Yeah, they do. Well said.
Okay.
This has been, you know, such a fascinating exploration of those often hidden complexities of butterfly life, you know, from their unique survival strategies to the challenges they face in a changing world.
Yeah.
The dark green and high brown fritillaries have really given us a glimpse into that delicate balance of nature.
It's been a real eye-opener for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm walking away with a new appreciation for these seemingly simple creatures.
Yeah.
And a deeper understanding of what we can all do to help them thrive.
That's great.
So who knows, right?
Right.
What other secrets these butterflies hold, waiting to be discovered.
Absolutely.
But, you know, by continuing to study and observe the natural world, we can continue to learn and grow, ensuring that these wonderful creatures, you know, grace our planet for generations to come.
Well said.
And for you listening, you know, we hope this deep dive has inspired you to look a little closer at the butterflies fluttering around in your own neighborhood.
Mm.
Their lives are, you know, a real testament to resilience, adaptation, and that interconnectedness of all living things.
Right.
Perhaps you'll even be inspired to, you know, plant a few native wildflowers and contribute to those butterfly highways.
Yeah, why not?
Okay, so until next time, keep exploring and stay curious.
Great. See you later.